Clyde Silcock, Private, 363rd Infantry, 91st Division, Ohio, October the 31st, 1918. Roy Whitney, Private, 361st Infantry, 91st Division, Montana, November the 3rd, 1918. Henry J. Hesterman, Private, 363rd Infantry, 91st Division, Idaho, November the 2nd, 1918. Michelle Chimianti, Private, 316 Engineers, 91st Division, Washington, November the 1st, 1918. I'm standing where others lie. Many thousands of young men, many younger than myself when they fell, in what they said would be the war to end all wars. I'm standing in Flanders Fields. Many of you know the poem that was written by a Canadian airman who was himself to become a victim of the Holocaust. I'm David Monson, for many of you that don't know the program, and in introducing our program live out of the city of Kortrijk in the province of West Flanders this evening, I'd like you, the listener, wherever you may be in the world this evening, to pause with me just a while, just a few moments, in this American military cemetery, the American military cemetery of Flanders Fields. In fact, this is the smallest of the American military cemeteries on the European continent, where some 368 American soldiers lie. 368 American soldiers who lie in this cemetery at Waregem. And 368 of the many hundreds of thousands of young men from around the world who lost their lives fighting in one of the two world wars. There were many, in fact 102,000 of soldiers, fighting men, who had no known grave. And their names are inscribed, are written up, all over the inner walls of the Menin Gate at Ypres, the famous wipers of the First World War. It's a beautiful day, a peaceful one here in the Flanders Field Military Cemetery. Among the row after row of simple headstones bearing the name, rank, unit, and date of death of the soldier lying below. His regimental crest, symbol of faith, and in some cases a personal inscription chosen by the next of kin. Officers and men lie side by side as they fought in life here in Flanders Fields. As they fought in the Ypres Salient, the name given early in the First World War to the curving battlefront around Ypres. There were others, other salients, but none as important as Ypres, either for forces engaged or vital positions to be contested. Peaceful, I said. That is, it's so quiet, you could perhaps even hear butterfly in flights. Birds twitter among rows of graves where dropped crumbs from a gardener's sandwich provide a ready meal. Nature is at its best, at its serenest, its greenest, its most fertile. It's hard to imagine, in fact, or is it, really, the sounds of rifle fire, of mortars, cannon, and the cries of death that echoed across the selfsame fields not so long ago. Hard to imagine the mud and the slush and the cold and the stench of crowded trenches. Long days and months and years away from mums and dads, brothers, if they weren't all fighting in the same trenches, away from sisters, wives, lovers, who they would, in many cases, never see again, because they were to die here and to lie here in Flanders. It's not so long ago, really, just a mere 60-odd years, less than a lifetime since the First World War, a little over 30 since the Second. And yet, people do forget, and younger generations are not always taught to remember the debt they owe to those that fought and fell in the two world wars, and that lie here in the Flemish provinces. Why should we only officially remember them on November the 11th? For this reason, I'd like to dedicate my two broadcasts from Kortrijk in the province of West Flanders. I'd like to dedicate this program to the men of two world wars who fought and died in Flanders. Men who came from the many corners of the globe in which this program is probably being listened to this evening. We salute their memory.